Welcome to True Crime with Lux. Who is Catherine Knight? Born October 24, 1955, the youngest of twins to Ken Knight and Barbara Rogan in Tenterfield, New South Wales, Australia. Barbara had an affair with Ken while she was married to Jack Rogan. Due to this affair, the family moved to Maury to escape the scandal. Jack died in 1959, leaving his two children to live with Barbara and Ken. Catherine's childhood was dysfunctional. Her father was an alcoholic who openly used violence and intimidation. He would rape her mother up to 10 times a day, and her mother would share the details with Catherine, saying how much she hated sex and men. Catherine claimed she was sexually abused until the age of 11, and when she would tell her mother, Barbara would tell her to put up with it and stop complaining. Some doubt this happened, but psychiatrists believe it did, and some family members confirmed that the abuse was real. In high school, she was pleasant for the most part, but had anger issues and would have uncontrollable rages when minor things happened. She was described as a loner and a bully. She assaulted a boy at school with a weapon and injured a teacher, saying it was self-defense. She dropped out at 15 without learning how to read or write and got a job in a clothing factory as a fabric cutter. A year later, she left to start what she called her dream job as a butcher at the local abattoir. She was quickly promoted to boning and received her own set of butcher knives. She hung the knives above her bed at home, a habit she continued everywhere she lived. Catherine got married to her first husband, David Collette, in 1974. They met in 1973 while working together. It is said she completely dominated him, and if he got into a fight while out drinking, she would back him up with her fist. On their wedding night, she tried to strangle him because he fell asleep after only having sex three times. Their relationship was known to be violent, and on one occasion, while Catherine was pregnant, she burned all of his clothes and shoes before hitting him with a frying pan, all because he came home late. He was able to get to the neighbor's house for help. At the hospital, he was treated for a skull fracture, and Catherine received no charges. Their marriage ended in 1976 after their daughter was born. David met another woman, and they moved to Queensland to get away from Catherine's possessive, violent behavior. The next day, Catherine was seen walking her daughter in a stroller while violently shaking it back and forth. She was admitted to St. Elmo's Hospital and diagnosed with postpartum depression. After several weeks, she was released. She went home and got her daughter, placing her on the railroad tracks on her way into town, threatening people with an axe. A man passing by was able to get the baby off the tracks before the train arrived. Catherine was sent back to St. Elmo's, but signed herself out the next day. A few days later, she slashed a woman's face, demanding she drive her to Queensland to find David. When they stopped at a gas station, the woman was able to escape and call for help. When the police arrived, she took a boy hostage. They were finally able to apprehend her and took her to Morissette Psychiatric Hospital. While there, Catherine confessed that she intended to kill David and his mother when she got to Queensland. Police told David what happened, and he decided to end things with his girlfriend and move back in with Catherine to support her. She was sent home on August 9, 1976, into the care of David. They moved to Woodridge, where she got a new job at Dinmore Meatworks. A few years later, in 1980, they had a second daughter, and in 1984, Catherine left David and moved back in with her parents in Aberdeen. She was able to get her old job back at the abattoir, but injured her back and went on disability. The government gave her a housing commission in Aberdeen, so she didn't have to pay rent. In 1986, Catherine met 38-year-old David Saunders. He soon moved in with her and her daughters, but kept his apartment in Scone. Catherine became jealous, wondering what he did when she wasn't with him, and would kick him out of the house. He would return to his apartment, and she would soon go back to him, begging him to move back in with her. Their relationship was toxic, and in May of 1987, Catherine cut the throat of his puppy to show him what she would do to him if he ever cheated on her. In June of 1988, she had a third daughter, which led them to buying a bigger home in 1989. Catherine decorated the home with animal skins, skulls, horns, rusty animal traps, leather jackets, old boots, machetes, rakes, and pitchforks. No part of the house was left uncovered by these items. The violence continued when Catherine stabbed David in the stomach with a pair of scissors. He went into hiding, and when Catherine tried to find out where he went, no one would tell her. She went to the police saying she was afraid of him and got a restraining order. When David returned several months later to see his daughter, he was notified of the restraining order. Catherine got pregnant again in 1990 by an old coworker named John Chillingworth, and they had a son. Their relationship only lasted 3 years before Catherine left him to be with John Price. John Price was divorced with three children of his own when he and Catherine got together. He had full custody of his two older children. He was aware of Catherine's violence, but still let her and her children move in with them. For a while, they all got along without any issues, and John was making good money working in the mines. However, in 1988, they got into an argument when John refused to marry Catherine. In retaliation, she recorded him taking items from work to get him fired. He confessed to taking the items, saying they were expired medical kits he took from the trash, but he was still fired after working there for 17 years. John kicked Catherine out that same day, and word spread around town of what she had done. A few months later, they got back together but lived separately. The fighting became more frequent between them, and soon John's friends wanted nothing to do with him while he was seeing Catherine. In February 2000, things got violent when Catherine stabbed John in the chest. He was finally done with her and got a restraining order. He told his coworkers that if he didn't come to work tomorrow, it was because Catherine had killed him. They pleaded with him to not go home, but he was afraid for the lives of his children if he didn't. He came home to find no one there, later finding out that Catherine had sent the children to stay with a friend, so he went to the neighbors to hang out before returning home at 11 to go to bed. Catherine had spent the day videotaping her children and making comments that were interpreted to be her will. When she got to his house that night, she found him sleeping, so she took a shower and put on new lingerie before making her way to the bedroom, waking him to have sex. Afterwards, he fell asleep. At 6 a.m. the next day, his neighbor became concerned that John's car was still in the driveway when he should have been at work. Soon, one of his coworkers showed up to the house to check on him. They went to knock on the front door but noticed there was blood. They immediately called the police. They arrived at 8 a.m. and broke down the back door to gain entry when they found more blood in the bedroom. They found Catherine in bed comatose due to taking a handful of pills. Police continued to search the house for John and found his body hanging from a meat hook in the doorway to the living room. Catherine was taken into custody. Police searched the home for evidence and discovered that there was a meal cooked in the kitchen that was determined to be parts of John's body. Catherine had set plates on the table with notes next to them with his children's name on them, implying she intended to feed the children pieces of their father. During the autopsy, it was revealed that John had been stabbed 37 times before being skinned and hung on the meat hook. Catherine tried to plead guilty to manslaughter, but it was rejected. At her arraignment, she entered a plea of not guilty, and her trial began October 15, 2001. When the trial began, the jury prospects were given the option to be excused due to the nature of the photo evidence. Five of them accepted. The next day, to avoid a trial, Catherine changed her plea to guilty, but never took responsibility for her actions. At the hearing, her attorneys tried to have her excused so she didn't have to hear the details of what she did, but the judge denied the request, and when the details were read, Catherine became hysterical and had to be sedated. Her sentence was read on November 8th. The judge said that due to the nature of the crime and her lack of remorse, she would be sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, and her papers were marked with never to be released. She was the first woman in Australia to ever receive this sentence. She tried to have it appealed in June of 2006, saying that it was too severe for the killing. The judge, however, stated that this was an appalling crime, almost beyond contemplation in a civilized society. Catherine is serving her sentence at Silverwater Women's Correctional Center. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please like and share it with your friends. Stay safe, and I'll see you next week.